It's time for Toronto's Top Line.
I think it was earlier this year where Bill was like really happy before Sid went by. Remember, he was smiling and giggling?
What the hell are you talking about?
And then Sid went by and said, like, snap out of it. Like, or, get that smile off your face. He's like, what the hell is your problem, Sid?
This is such an idiot here.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
Shout out to Sean, who works at Pearson, said you do not need a passport to fly domestic. So you didn't even need your passport last night.
You can show your driver's license?
Yeah, if you're flying from Toronto to Ottawa or anywhere in the country, driver's license gets it done.
Good to know.
So you could have lost your passport. How long have you had a passport for anyway? Like, you haven't left the country in a long time.
I got one of those ones where I think it's good for 10 years.
Is that like a recent renewal, though? Because you're flying and you're...
And I put my other one in the washing machine, and it was wrecked. Remember the girl over there, the lady wouldn't help me, and I had to go to the other guy that got me the new one?
Yeah. That was a fan of the show, wasn't he a fan? He kind of hooked you up. And
24 hours later, I had a passport.
Yeah, it's funny, man. When you have connections, you can get things done.
You got it.
So you ran into Bettman last night. I can't believe you didn't mention that until like 10 minutes ago.
Door opens. It's just Jerry and his bodyguards.
How did that not open the show? What did you open the show with? Oh, your gripe about bags over
that
your
was
seat,
more important
the overhead.
To me. What is so big of a deal about me coming face to face and saying hi to Jerry?
It's a huge story. Wouldn't you suggest? I mean, Steph came in. She was incredulous. She couldn't believe you didn't mention that earlier in the afternoon. Jerry is a big part of the whole show.
I just kind of wanted to tease it because I knew Jerry's was coming up.
Okay, well, you're right. Jerry's is going to happen around 6:30 today.
Dude, we got to talk about Noodles, too. I am, like, beyond dying right now, having to travel and then go home and get your car and then go to work. This guy does it 50 times a year.
He'll take the red eye home. When we used to do the lunch, this guy would fly back from L.A. overnight, get in his car at, like, 10:30 in the morning and drive right to the studio and do 2 hours of radio. And then leave, go watch a movie, and come back and do That's Hockey. And then do That's Hockey tonight, that same night. He's not normal. Like,
no,
Noodles
he's not normal.
A normal guy.
I'm starting to seriously think next year I got to tail back my, or I got to take it back a notch on the work.
Really?
I think so,
man. In which area?
All areas.
So what is your plan?
Next year?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I can put it into place next year because I'm under contract. But the year after that, I'm thinking 2 to 3 times a week I put in a shift.
Really?
And only one item only.
So what do you mean? You're on this show, what, like twice a week?
Maybe, and then throw in a panel. I think that's my...
I don't think that's going to fly. I really don't see it happening.
I have to scale back. I'm sorry.
Why, though? What's the problem?
It's taking its toll. I'm getting stressed and...
What toll? There's no toll.
Dude, I'm supposed to be retired. I'm supposed to be enjoying my... Now I feel like I'm overworked and I'm stressed. I'm tired. Maybe I'm just having a bad day. We'll check in and revisit it tomorrow.
I'll bet you Steve Phillips will carve you for that take.
I don't care.
It's a pathetic take. You're a young man. How old are you?
41. Ask him. Is he on?
Yeah, we got Steve Phillips on.
Steve, what do you think about a retired athlete maybe scaling it back, wanting to check in like 2 to 3 times a week at work?
Yeah, well, I mean, here's the thing. If you're great, you can ask for anything, and they'll probably give it to you. And so, you know, I get it. You've earned the right to have choices. And if one of the choices is you want to work less, then you do it. Now, you know, your boss can always say no, that doesn't work for us, but I don't mind you asking.
Well, go ahead, ask for whatever you want.
How would you phrase the ask, Steve?
Yeah, you know, I'm getting a little tired playing, you know, working every day, and you know, I'm 41, and you know, I'm getting up there a little bit, and I need some free time for myself and my family. And so, would you mind if maybe instead of 5 days a week, I just work 3 days a week? No. Oh, okay. Well, then I'll work every day. Thanks.
Yeah, that's exactly.
Okay. What
how
about?
It's
hang on.
Out.
What about this, Steph? You can even maybe chime in here if you like. What about the idea of And this is very special to me. Not working Fridays.
Absolutely not.
Thank you, Steph.
We need you on Mail It In Fridays.
Right. And what kind of precedence is that setting for everybody else?
I don't even like being here on Friday. I mail it in. I came up with the name of the show, Mail It In Friday.
Yeah, but you still end up showing up and you bring something. How pathetic is this, Steve? Like, you do a lot of radio interviews. This is pathetic, isn't it?
You know, look, I'm not one to judge. I mean, I get it. And it comes down to personal choice. And look, you have the right to ask for it. They have the right to say no, and then you have to make a decision about what you want to do. I mean, what if the answer is not only do we want you to work every day, but if you don't, we're going to let you go. I mean, mm-hmm. You're going to have to make a choice about that, maybe.
And you'd buckled too so fast. You'll end up working more.
Yeah, 7 days a week. You're on every single day now.
Yeah, that's what's going to end up happening. I'm telling you, man. Don't even think about going down that road. Not going to work. And even if it happened for you, you would get so bored sitting around at home, you'd end up just working. That's what would happen.
Maybe I'm having a bad day. Yeah, we'll revisit it tomorrow.
Okay, I think the passport, running into Jerry.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll bring this up tomorrow. Anyway, Steve, it's good to have you on, as always. And we haven't really brought this up yet. It's a pretty big story buzzing right now. Ross Atkins was speaking earlier today. And he said he's still committed to bolstering the lineup to challenge for a third consecutive playoff berth. And he said, we're still focused on adding and winning. And he brought up a couple of reasons for that optimism. He looked at the division, said nobody's running away with it. And he looked at the injuries and the fact that reinforcements are coming in Donaldson and Tulowitzki and hopefully Happ down the road, maybe Sanchez down the road. And he said, at this point, we still think we can make the playoffs. And I guess maybe I'm putting words in his mouth a little bit, but paraphrasing, if the trade deadline were to go down today, he thinks they'd be in the position to buy. What do you make of that take?
Yeah, I can kind of understand that because, you know, everybody thought the team to beat would be the Boston Red Sox, right? That would be the other team atop the division, and they've been disjointed all season as well. The absence of David Ortiz has been rather profound for them offensively, and they're not the same team that they were a year ago. They're not the same team that people thought they would be. And then you look at the Yankees, and I know the Yankees offense has been great. Aaron Judge has been unbelievable, and they're scoring a ton of runs and everything else. But break down the pitching numbers there. Their starting pitching ERA is at like 4.38 ERA. Their bullpen has been, you know, slightly better, but they've got some flaws, and they're not a perfect team. And Masahiro Tanaka, their ace, has been really crushed his last two times out. It's making them wonder whether or not there's a health issue there. And so, you know, I still see the Yankees and the Orioles just rather flawed teams. The Orioles starting pitching, Yovaldo Jimenez with a 7.7 ERA has been a mess. Kevin Gausman's got an ERA over 6. And so, you know, they are flawed teams despite the fact that they won some games early. And I get it that if the Blue Jays do get healthy and make a run, I think they believe that part of the top of the division can fall back to the pack a bit, and they can try to catch up and make up some ground.
Well, I think it probably buys him some time with the fans. I think there's a lot of fans out there that are just naturally optimistic. They look at some of the records at this time a year ago, a couple of years ago, and they suggest that, hey, we can go on a run here and still get back into it. And Atkins did point that out, that they have to go on a run soon, which I think is really the operative words that came out of this piece. He understands you can't expect to go like 20-0 in September just to get in. You've got to start doing this quickly and start moving in the right direction. But really, ownership is the one that would make a call on this, wouldn't it be, Steve? I mean, these owners, they've benefited greatly from the past 2 years. They made a lot of money, and they've created a lot of buzz in this marketplace for the first time in a long time. It's one thing to say it to the fans, but in a way, I would suggest Atkins is really, he's speaking to ownership right now.
Well, look, I'm sure Mark Shapiro and Atkins have communicated regularly with ownership. I think that happens. You know, being a general manager, being a team president, you spend as much time managing the organizational chart below you as you do managing up the chart to ownership, to make sure that they're educated, that they're understanding, that they get your perspective. And I think right now there's still enough collateral in the relationship with Shapiro and Atkins with what happened last year, that they're going to guide ownership rather than ownership guiding them for the most part right now. So if ownership says, yeah, sure, ride it out a little bit, we'll regroup in a month and a half, they're going to go ahead and let him do that. Now, if the Jays don't go on a run, if they don't make up some of the ground, if the Yankees and Orioles keep playing really good baseball and despite their flaws, and they win, and then they get better, then the Jays are in a position where they're going to have to reconsider everything. And, you know, anything a general manager says, you know, the understanding is today. Like, this is what I'm saying today. Mm-hmm. It could change. I'm not saying that out loud, but it can change that if a month and a half from now we haven't played better, we haven't gone on the run, then I can change my mind. We always reserve the right to change our mind. And general managers don't always say it. People later will say, well, you didn't tell us the truth. No. This is just where we were today, but it can change, you know, as time goes by.
Steve, how difficult is it when guys get injured and you have the injuries like the Jays? Like, is it hard not to fall in love with some of the guys that replaced them? I mean, like, how difficult is it to make an assessment to say, oh, this guy's just filling in. I'm just going to ignore his stats, ignore what he's doing, and I'm just going to wait no matter what. In hockey, for the longest time, we had a golden rule where it was if you're hurt, you're taking a chance somebody could take your job. How would you go about assessing guys that were replacing the injured guys?
Yeah, it's a good question. And Ryan Goins just stepped up big, grand slam today. He's done a nice job. I think that evaluations in baseball take place over longer periods of time. That you know, coming into the season, Ryan Goins had proven kind of what he was. Doesn't mean he can't get better, but it, you know, you can get hot for a month and a half, or you can get hot for a month when you're filling in for somebody, but it doesn't dramatically change really what an executive or a scout might think that you are. The good news is that they filled in admirably. When the horses come back, by the way, who also have $20 million a year contract or a $14 million a year contract, they're probably going to step in and replace a guy like Goins. Goins understands it, and he's playing for an opportunity maybe to get traded to get a better, you know, position and playing time somewhere else. But he also understands and appreciates to be a guy that can play every day for 2 weeks or one day in 2 weeks is a valuable asset for a team. They just don't make as much money.
With Steve Phillips, our Jays analyst, back to your point about GM saying whatever they're going to say in the moment and reserving the right to change their minds or their approach down the road, there's no question about that. And the fact is no one really holds them to it. I mean, the media is not going to waste their time yelling and screaming about it. But I think when we consider where this team could be and where it could go in the future, Donaldson's name is the one that comes up the most. Simply because of his value, because they have him under control for a couple of years, and the idea of trading him could bring back the most. But I'd be curious to get your take on this. How different would the value really be in terms of returns end of July this year and at the winter meetings in December? I mean, how different would the value really be?
Actually, I think that the value and the capability of making a trade is better and a Donaldson deal in the wintertime, because what happens is you get everybody involved then. You get the team that has a legitimate chance to go for it now, that has a chance to make the playoffs, and you get that team that has the money to spend who would like to jump in the wintertime, but they're not going to make the deal right now to go after Donaldson because they're not going for a playoff spot. So I think you get more teams involved in a Donaldson-like deal in the winter. The other part of it is, let's say you're going to trade Donaldson or, you know, a premium blue chip MVP caliber player, you're going to want multiple major league ready players back in return. For a team in the playoff hunt, for that team that's trying to win now, like in the last 2 months of the season, to give up a third baseman, a starter, and a reliever off your major league team, you've just robbed Peter to pay Paul, and you've created other holes for yourself that you don't have a pool of players from which to go and replace them. In the wintertime, you can make other trades. You can go to free agency. You can sign players. And so if you create multiple holes in your team to get one big-time star, you've got a place to go to do that. And so the Donaldson-type deal, in my mind, is better served in the wintertime than it is at the trade deadline.
Thank you, Steve. Always appreciate it, buddy. Sorry about wasting your time there off the top.
No, it's okay. Listen, I hope O'Dog, have a better night tonight, and we'll check back in tomorrow.
Well, we'll see how it goes, but I'm kind of thinking it might be the same thing, Steve. I don't know.
You know, the honey-do list could be really daunting if you decide to just stay home a lot.
Nah, there's no such thing as that anymore, pal. I don't have to worry about that.
You've got a lot of time to kill, Steve. Don't you worry about him.
Right.
He'll be fine. See you, Steve.
See you guys.
There's our Baseball Insider brought to you by Oakland Ford Lincoln. Quick Lane, conveniently located at 570 Trafalgar Road in Oakville. Yeah, a lot of people are taking runs at you, man.
Really?
Yeah.
By what?
Well, just the idea of you only coming in a couple days a week. You do have a couple of supporters.
You would be doing your fans a disservice if O only worked 3 days a week. Mail it in, but at least show up. I support that.
You can just show up and sit there and do nothing. Don't even have a mic in front of you. Willie tweeting in saying, O-Dog has paid his dues. 5 days a week is overrated. How have you paid your dues?
I've been here 5 years.
I don't think you've been here 5 years.
Pretty close, pal.
There's no way you've been here for
Pretty
5 years.
Close. I've seen pics on Facebook that say 4 years ago.
What, like you calling into Naylor's show or something
like
that?
No, like taking pics around work. I'm pretty sure it's 4 years.
It's like university. You put in 4 years and you're free to go do whatever you want. 4 years is paying dues now.
Do you have anything reasonable as far as a solution to kind of scale it back?
I don't think you're really that burnt out.
I'm just having a bad day.
I think you've been fine. You've been better than I have. I've been choking all over the mic.
You're the worst show you've ever had.
I've really been struggling today. Yeah. I haven't had many great takes.
You know what I'm going to do?
Stumbling over words.
How much time do we have before break?
Go as long as you want, man.
Steph, sit down in your chair. I want to know how this feels, okay?
You're leaving? Am I supposed to be doing like a play-by-play here, Steph? What do you think is happening?
I have no idea. Right, I think he's coming in to produce.
Yeah, okay, he's moving in there. All right, so you want Steph out of the way so you can start talking.
He's mimicking me behind the glass, I feel.
All right, so what, you want to take over Steph's job? Is that what you're saying?
No.
Okay, then what was that whole thing?
That's what you do when me and Noodle suck. You go back there and be... and you go, these guys are brutal today.
That's not true.
That is such a joke.
There
That's
have been times
lie.
I've done it. You know what happened, though, last week? We made eye contact, and I wasn't even talking about you, and I knew just based on your... I don't know why, but you would be thinking I was in there carving you, and I wasn't. I was in there talking about some guest we were supposed to have on or whatever.
No, that's exactly what you do. You run back there like a petulant child, and you're like, Steph... What's wrong with these guys?
Yeah, there are days when I go in there and I'm like, I'm talking to two walls because these guys have nothing to say.
Sometimes you guys do have the deer in
headlines.
Well,
I went back
look.
There and said, yeah. You suck today.
Well, that's fine. Go ahead.
All right.
Do it. You can go back there and talk to Steph and Malls, whatever
that's,
you want.
That's the new game, I guess.
But it doesn't happen all the time. I'm telling you, last week I was in there. I can't remember what the topic was.
I almost went into the mic and said, if you think you're carving us, come out here and we'll drop the
I gloves. Could tell you were looking at me. You had that insecure look. Like, what is he doing in there? Why is he talking about
well,
me?
Well, that's what my move's going to be. I'm going to go in there and say how crappy you are.
Okay, well, you got to show up to work to actually do that.
Not next year.
Do you know that Noodles is on a radio station in Vancouver today?
What?
I just saw something get retweeted. Noodles is doing a radio hit later today.
So he can't come into work, Lieutenant Dan style.
Right.
But he's on Vancouver radio.
It would appear.
I'm going to go back in and start carving him.
Interesting move by our good buddy Noodles. Making the time to go on Vancouver radio.
That's my new thing. I'm just going to go behind the glass like you and just start complaining. That's what you do. And
I don't
It drives
do that.
Me nuts.
I know you do. I know every time I go back there and I listen to audio, I talk about an upcoming guest or I talk about a guest we just had on, you immediately think I'm in there talking about you. And I can see you just horse-eyeing. You've got that look on your face. Like, what's he doing? And then I come in here, and it's awkward because I know you want to bring it up. Like, what happened? Why did you mention that? What did you have to say?
We need to go to break. There's some frustration.
Yeah, we're getting
I feel like
Shaq
I'm just,
and Barkley here.
Yeah. I'll throw a chicken wing at your fat ass.
Don't get me started, man. As Barkley would say,
There's
if that happens.
There's a reason you never played. I played.
Mm-hmm. Barkley never won a title.
Yeah. Do the bird with the chicken wing.
I'm hungry, man. I could use that.
Play that audio again.
Yeah, do we have that audio? Okay, play it.
You don't want to mess around, Chuck. You have no idea what we're talking about.
It's a real must win for Boston.
Because you've only been to the finals once. So
I
didn't know.
I wasn't riding on Dwayne Wade's and Kobe's coattails.
Doesn't matter, Chuck. I got the same thing you got, and I passed you up 10 years.
Just letting you know. Anyway, if I've been riding on Kobe's coattails, Dwayne Wade's, and Alonzo Mourning, too. Guys. I forgot about
must win for those guys. Everybody
and
knows you're a bum.
Rick Fox.
People question why you're in the Hall of Fame anyway. Bum.
I would say this, Shaq.
No, it's a bust.
Why did that get so personal when we're talking about game five?
Because Chuck always interrupt me. Don't interrupt me, Chuck. I'm going to punch you right in your face. Yeah, I'm telling you. Okay.
We're going to be moving some furniture.
Okay.
I'm
going to
throw one of these chicken wings at your fat ass.
Okay.
That's a good shot, man.
I don't understand when he said I had the same thing, but then I patched it up for 10 years. I don't know what that meant. I didn't understand that part of it.
I don't know. Probably him and Kobe. Their history and the problems they had. I don't know. Sometimes those guys, they start talking over each other. You don't have a clue what they're saying. But I thought it was great TV. I think it's raw. I think it's honest. I think it's truthful. I think it's in the best interest of every show, whether it's TV or radio, every once in a while to go completely off script. And feel as if there's real tension in the room. And it can't be manipulated. It can't be planned. You can pick up on that. Like the fake hot takers and the fake yelling and all that kind of stuff. After a while, people pick up on that and they get it. But if it's genuine, like you genuinely dislike when I go in there and talk to Steph.
Yeah.
Even though 95% of the time I don't talk about you guys.
Well, be a man and just tell me. Say, listen, I need a little more out of you guys. You're the captain, so you're allowed to say
that. How am I supposed to do that, though, when you're sitting here on the radio talking about how you're overwhelmed or you've been working too much or you're burnt out and you want to work only 2 or 3 days a week?
I'm going to scale back.
Exactly. How's that going to help?
Well, if it's a real bad day, you can say, hey, let's pick it up a little. Have an idea.
All right. Well, you do the same with me, admittedly. If I'm having a bad day, you've done it multiple times.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Jerry's percentages coming up. One of Jerry's takes is actually about a movie that Charlie Sheen was talking about recently.
You're dangerous.
A remake?
I'm going to forget about today. Like when Maverick threw Goose's chains into the water and forgot about stuff.
Well, that's another thing that has to come up. Tom Cruise talking about Top Gun 2. How do you have another Top Gun when Goose is dead?
Maybe his little kid goes into the academy and Tom Cruise is...
That's definitely it.
No, but he's dead, so he couldn't have had a kid.
I thought he had a kid with Meg Ryan.
Tom Cruise?
No, Goose.
Oh.
Didn't Goose have a kid? I don't know. All right, we got to get back on the rails here.
We do. We have gone off the rails.
Jerry's percentage is coming up.
And we got to do an overdrive, no t-shirt, volleyball game somewhere. Just to get us back in the spirit of Top Gun.
All right. You've got a hybrid option, too, you want to throw out?
I had one for the Jays. We'll talk about
that. Why didn't we bring that up with Steve?
Because you were babbling and...
You wasted his time talking about what you want to do
in the future.
Well,
I just think there's an idea with this team. Instead of, like, unloading everybody or adding everybody, you can kind of do a little bit of both.
Okay. All right. Save that take. We'll get to it. Jerry's percentages next. Don't forget, O-Dog Noodles and I are gearing up for the Scotiabank Road Hockey to Conquer Cancer Tournament September 23rd at Woodbine Racetrack here in Toronto. Visit tsn1050.ca to make a donation on behalf of Team Overdrive. For every $20, you'll be entered to win roster spots on the team for you and a friend. All proceeds go to the Princess Margaret Cancer Center. We had to push Jerry's percentages back because we caught up with Craig Cunningham at 5:30. So we'll catch up with Jerry here in a moment. But E60 is coming out with a piece on PK Subban, I believe, this weekend. And we're going to talk about it a little bit later in the week. But I guess excerpts from the E60 piece have come out. And people have been tweeting about it. One of Subban's quotes that sticks out for a lot of people online is, I still have no idea why I'm not a Montreal Canadian, and quite frankly, I really don't care. End
quote. If you don't care, then don't make the comment.
I don't believe for a second he doesn't care.
That whole comment together doesn't even make sense. If you don't care, then you don't make the comment. You just make a statement, I'm quite happy being a Nashville Predator. I love my time in Montreal. Don't say you don't care and then make the comment.
This is a situation where you can have your cake and eat it too. You can love that you're in Nashville. You can love being a Predator, but you can also be bitter that the Canadiens traded you. There's nothing wrong with that. You loved your time in Montreal. You didn't want to
leave.
And
there is an element of bitterness because he loved everything about being a Montreal Canadian, and there were some elements that they didn't love about him. Therefore, they moved him. And as a player, you're thinking, I feel slighted. I loved my job. I loved my gig. I loved PK Subban as a Montreal Canadian. But don't say you don't care, but because you wouldn't make the comment.
It would rattle you forever.
This trade is such a spicy meatball. Can you ever remember so much resentment of, like, it's, we're going back to Gretzky leaving Edmonton, for crying out loud, where people were like, what the hell are you doing?
Right. Same kind of thing, Patrick Waugh. I mean, that, like, the Habs have had
Patrick
multiple
Waugh,
trades.
He promoted it.
He wanted out. He said, I'm out. I'm leaving. So it's different because PK never gave that impression. He wanted to stay in Montreal. And PK has handled it beautifully. He's always said the right thing. Wants to win a cup. All he wanted to do was bring a cup back to Montreal. They love him in Montreal. Like, unanimously loved. I can't recall the last time there was an athlete in Toronto that was treated the same way PK was in Montreal. I think Matthews has a real shot at doing that. I think Marner really, maybe even Nylander, maybe all three. But if you had to pick one, I think Matthews is more than likely going to be that guy. But Subban represented something so different in Montreal, and that's a city and a team and a fan base that loves their legends and puts their legends on a pedestal unlike any other team, maybe in pro sports. And Subban was trending in that direction with Waugh, with Béliveau, with Richard. Like, that's where he was going. And fans feel like the team ripped that away from them. But I don't have a problem with PK being bitter or being disappointed. I've said this before. I've been fired in the past. I'm never going to just be totally over that. I'm never going to be like, oh, whatever, who cares? Now, it happened for a reason. It led to where I am today. And I'm sure if PK wins the Stanley Cup, he's going to probably appreciate that trade that much more. Because he wasn't going to do it in Montreal. That team with PK was not winning a Stanley Cup. There
was no
way.
What do you think happens on Marinaro's show in Montreal on the day after that? The Preds hoist the cup.
If they win a cup, I can't imagine what the reaction will be. It'll be, I think, phone lines open. Tell us how much you hate Marc Bergevin. How big of an idiot you think he is.
Could something like that, you think, ever put an executive in trouble?
Absolutely.
Really?
I think so. The owners listen to the media. They listen to the fans.
Well, I guess if the general manager of Marc Bergevin was going to the owner saying, we can never win with this guy, he's going to call him in his office and say, what? Pardon me?
Well, that's a better reason. Forget what the media types are saying, what the fans are saying. I would assume, without being in the room, and this is simply speculation, Bergevin had to sell the owner on trading Subban, and I would think part of his sales pitch was, I don't think I can win with this guy. And if he goes and wins the Stanley Cup the next year, less than 12 months after the trade, if I'm ownership, I'm saying, can you come in my office like right now and explain to me how you missed this so badly? Now, again, like I just pointed out, even if Subban was still in Montreal, they were not winning a cup this year. That team was not good enough.
That team is...
With or without PK, Montreal was not going to win a Stanley Cup.
Watching the playoffs go deeper and deeper, that team is so far away.
They're a ways away. Anyway... All right, we got to get to Jerry here. All right, we've made him wait long enough. He's got a bunch
of hot
takes.
Saw him in the elevator last night. He passed me the note. He recorded the Jerrys for me in Ottawa, and I brought them here today.
You're going to want to hear this.
Jerry's percentages.
No, keep the booing.
Are we having fun yet?
You're all pigeons. Filthy, filthy pigeons.
It's Jerry. G-E-R-R-Y.
How did we ever get on to this?
I don't know, man.
I said it to you one day. I'm like, we should do a Jerry's percentage. Like, Jerry Bettman makes some assessments, and we'll just put a percentage on it. And you were like, yeah.
It's a one-time thing. I figured one-time thing. We can do that. I don't know why it came up, how it came up. You're right. Now we've been doing it for like a year and a half.
I say we retire it after this season.
But then we got to get creative. Like, I miss out on Randy's tweets might have been the greatest thing we've ever done. But when Carlisle got fired, we couldn't do Randy's tweets anymore. Like, Randy's tweets was a brilliant bit, but it doesn't have the same feel. You can't do it with Babcock. That team was so bad. It was such a disaster. Carlisle hated everything about it. It worked. It was material that was on a platter for us.
Maybe this year we'll do Babs' Facebook posts. which one of these scenarios is Babs more likely to put on Facebook?
Okay, we might have something there. As for Jerry's, it's brought to you by BPC, Best Portuguese Chicken, from two people to 300. Let BPC, Best Portuguese Chicken, do the cooking for you. 942 the Queensway, bestpc.ca.
The Sens will win Game 7, and Guy Boucher will be so shocked he'll pass out on the bench.
I picture this. Like, you know those Southern Baptist, like, pastors... That's their thing, like passing out or making people pass out. I think if the Sens win tomorrow night, Guy Boucher will pass out because he'll
be so
shocked.
Mark Crawford will just put his hand on his forehead and he'll just go down.
Yeah, that's what I picture, because all he keeps telling us is how awful Ottawa is and how Pittsburgh's the greatest team to ever play the game. But Jerry thinks Ottawa's going to win tomorrow night.
25%. There's just something about the Pens at home where Ottawa can't generate there. I mean, they can't generate a whole lot, period, but...
I gotta go higher than that. 45%.
You think a Game 7's a coin flip?
Craig Anderson stood on his head last night. I think he can do that again. I think Pittsburgh's the favorite, but I can't give them 75-25. I'll go 55-45. 45%. That Jerry hits the nail on the head here.
Noodles would come up with 37.8. There's Noodles' percentage, 37.8.
If the Sens make the Cup Final, like I'm predicting, they will sell out every game.
So Jerry thinks they'll win.
100%.
And sell out, 100%.
Yes.
I can't go 100% if they can't sell out Game 6. Eastern Conference Final with Sidney Crosby playing.
Dude,
I just
the
can't.
Cup Final has got a little bit more cachet, although it's ridiculous to say it should or does have more cachet than 100%.
I can't go 100%. I can't.
And people that are going nuts on that idea that there was 200 seats available, I was in that building. It was a pretty darn good atmosphere, and they were going nuts in there.
95%. I'm just going to leave the door open a little bit.
Noodles is also going 100%.
All right, so you're going to give out yours and Noodles' percentages?
No, Noodles is a Sens guy.
Yeah, he would say 100%.
Of course.
Tony Romo will eventually turn into a dual broadcasting threat, calling NFL and golf events beside that stiff Jim Nance.
Why is he calling Nance a stiff?
I don't know, man.
0%.
He's calling it this weekend. He's calling whatever donkey tournament they're playing this weekend.
Buddy, I could be a golf analyst, too. I know golf as good as I know hockey. Like, I asked Duffy, I'm like, I'll go down there and sit beside you at Augusta National.
So why not?
Because I'm not a golf guy. You got to have a golf guy.
I think there's a real potential this is going to happen.
I think I can give as good analysis on golf as I could hockey.
So true. Why not use you?
Because it's just, I don't know. I think people would have a hard time adjusting.
I don't think so. I think if you have to prove yourself, and Romo's going to have to prove himself, but the golf community is a stuffy community anyway. You know what I'm saying? And if you're compelling and energetic and entertaining, look at David Faraday. Faraday's great because he's actually original.
He's also a former player.
Yeah, he's a former player for sure, but it's not like this guy was the greatest player of all time.
Oh, he's a former winner on tour, European tour.
Okay, but what do you think he's more known for?
He's known for his personality, his character.
Mm-hmm. In other words,
like being a character.
Even like I don't think anyone sits there and says, "Well, he won on tour." I think it's, "Wow, I love this guy. He's interesting. He's funny."
I think
he's
known for his personality, and secondly, most importantly, what do you think he's known for?
Well,
his voice
because he's Irish. He's got a unique sound. I'll give you that. I think there's a chance Romo wants to do this and will do it. And I think Romo's got enough clout. It wouldn't shock me if it was in his deal. Like, I'll come to you, CBS, over Fox, ESPN, who are offering me deals too, but I might want to do some golf in the future. I'll leave the door open.
I think 20,
25%.
I think 0%.
25%.
The Cavs will finish the Celtics in Game 5.
But they'll win by less than 5 points.
Well, I believe in the first part for sure. I think Cavs going to win game five.
I think they're going to blow them out in game five.
Yeah, I kind of think the same.
I don't care if it's in Boston, whatever. Blowout.
Mm-hmm. I can't go 0% on that because there's two teams playing. Boston has shown some resolve over the past two games. You got to give them credit. Their best player went out. They actually won a game. And until Kyrie Irving went legend in the third quarter last night, they had control of the game for the most part. 25%. 25% they lose, but lose within five.
Cavs win and only by five?
Five or less.
I think there's a 5% blowout.
Noodles?
17.8.
Kyle Dubas will be a member of the Maple Leafs front office for at least the next 24 months.
I'm pretty high on this. I don't think Dubas is going anywhere.
Me neither, 95%.
I'll say 100%. I'm surprised it's gotten this far. I give him full credit. You know, I think obviously he's a progressive guy. He's a young up-and-coming guy. But the fact that Colorado has even interviewed him, I think he's further ahead than I thought he would be in terms of progressing in his career. Because lose the guy, I get the impression like Mark Hunter has more power within the organization just simply based on scouting and drafting. And as I said earlier, the Leafs are an up-and-coming team, and they've put their names on the map, but they're not Pittsburgh, Chicago. They're not one of those top, you know, three or four teams that have been dominating. Anaheim, Nashville, that have been drafting well and winning and going deep on playoff runs. So I'm a bit surprised that one of their assistant GMs are associated with winning and with a gig like this so soon. So full credit to him, but I don't think he's going anywhere. I don't think he's... Yeah, I'll say 100%. I think he's going to be here 95%. For 24 months.
Noodles, 87.5.
Bartolo Colon will still be in the majors when he turns 45.
Happy birthday, Big Sexy. Jerry's sexy, too.
He's always pumping his own tires about his sex appeal.
I know.
44 years old, Bartolo Colon. 0%?
Yeah, it's game over. You stretched it out. Don't embarrass yourself anymore.
Well, you might argue he's already there, man.
No kidding.
Do you know how much he's getting paid this year?
Isn't it like 12 mil?
12.5 million.
Jeez.
Baseball money is the best money.
It's the best money.
12.5 million.
You got to pay your dues early on, but when you get to that certain level, you rake.
Well, it's so true, man. Like baseball, they let you get away with whatever you want if you're in the league long enough. I was reading a piece on ESPN.com this afternoon. Colon turned 44 today and recently hit like a chopper to the shortstop or whatever, and he ran up first with his bat but didn't even run. Like he knew he was out, and whoever was writing the piece talked to the manager in Atlanta and said, like, do you have a problem with that? And he goes, guy's been in the league 20 years. He can do whatever the hell he wants. Like they don't even care. Like literally run around with the bat. Don't even try to make contact. Wow. Don't even wear a helmet. Do whatever you want, man.
He seems like a great guy, a character guy, but I wouldn't want a young stud. I don't like young people looking at that. You know what I think about young guys and watching and learning. We talked about that with Phil. I don't want anybody to put eyes on that. No thanks.
I'll leave it open. I mean, maybe he can get his career. Maybe he can get the season back on track. He's always durable. He for the most part, recently anyway. 30%. 30% Bartolo Colon decides to come back and someone has a contract waiting for him. Do we have another one? All right.
The movie Major League 3 will eventually be filmed starring that lunatic Charlie Sheen.
Wow, that's a big story on Twitter the past 24 hours because Charlie Sheen came out and said the whole cast from the original Major League is on board. So Jake Taylor.
Lou Brown's dead.
Yeah, I guess outside of Lou Brown. But Jake Taylor, Willie Mays Hayes, Roger Dorn. It's just a matter of actually getting money to support it. I guess the script is written and ready to go. I mean, all they do is just retread old ideas. Talked about Top Gun 2 earlier this hour. I'll say 51%.
65% because I want it to happen.
I kind of want to see it happen too, but I'm a bit scared.
Yeah, you kind of
wait that
Dumb
long.
And Dumber type things. And
yeah.
It's like, nope.
Like, comedies don't age well.
You get a hard no guy.
Like, I don't... Top Gun, I'm not sure what to expect out of Top Gun, but it's not a comedy.
No.
Right? So I think they could make it work, Top Gun 2. That came out in 86. It's been over 30 years.
I'm fully supportive of Top Gun 2.
I think it's a pretty overrated movie. Very overrated. I don't know.
It's all right. Dangerous comment.
All right, best bets coming up. Maybe some 3 stars. Recap what has been an emotional afternoon.
And I've gotten over the hump. I'm back in supporting a full work week.
You're good to go. Good to hear. Overdrive continues on the TSN Go app and on TSN 2. All right, time now for our best bets brought to you by ProLine. I'm on both New York teams, both at home, Yankees, Mets. How cool would that be to have two teams playing at the same time in the same city, same sport?
One of my favorite sporting events of all time, the Subway Series.
Unreal. Imagine a World Series.
In one city.
In one city.
It was amazing.
Bronx to the Queens, or the Bronx to Queens, back and forth. Thank you. Sign me up. And Boston home plus tonight. Throw down 20. You can score 60. You can find my picks on Twitter at TSN 1050 Radio and get way into the game with ProLine. It's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. ProLine, get way into the game.
Clark MacArthur says they're going to have to bore the Penguins out of the building tomorrow night. He also said before on game 6, we got to play this one like it's game 7.
I heard that. I left it alone. I didn't approach it. I like Clark MacArthur. I'm a fan of his. I'm a fan of his story. And I don't think he's wrong.
It was weird, though, to hear.
I think he's right. They probably are going to try to bore Pittsburgh out of the building. They tried to do that last night, but even though Pittsburgh couldn't score, they were still exciting.
They were still all over them.
They were all over them. Pittsburgh would take that all over tomorrow night. If they lose, they'd walk away and say, what do you want us to do, man?
Yeah.
I thought Pittsburgh played well last night. I thought they played really well. So tomorrow, we don't believe Noodles will be back.
Mailing it in.
Maybe later in the week, maybe on Friday, but we'll tee up game 7. Jays are off tomorrow. Big series this upcoming weekend. Texas in town, so we'll tee that up as well. And I believe you're back in studio. You'll be kicking around.
I'll be here, buddy.
All right, man. Let's do it. We're out of here. Back tomorrow at 4 p.m.
We'll chat then.